Back here on the Mighty 690 KGGF, and we are joined now by State Senator Virgil Peck, who is on the way to Topeka. He joins us via phone this morning. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Hey, doing well. I always prefer to be in studio. It's a lot more fun and a lot clearer conversation, but we've got a job to do, and so we're headed to Topeka to work on that job.
All right. Well, that's excellent. So, hey, let's just dive right into it here because I know our time always runs short. First of all, I know that there's been some headlines here this week. We had the story about Governor Laura Kelly vetoing the bipartisan tax plan and proposing her own. So, I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that here this morning.
On the first part, the veto, James, I was surprised. The tax plan that we assembled passed the House unanimously. That means every single person present, Republican and Democrat, voted for the tax plan. And on the Senate side, we had one Democrat vote for it and a bunch of Republicans. We had two Democrats who we were told actually wanted to vote for the plan, but they voted pass, not to upset the governor. So honestly, I was surprised she vetoed the plan that passed the legislature. I thought if she didn't like it, she would just let it become law without her signature. But she has vetoed the bill, and so that means we either need to override the veto or come up with another plan. In credit to the governor, and I don't give her credit very often, but she did propose her plan. But I guess the thing that frustrates me on this, James, is she's not the queen. In other words, we don't just bow down and whatever she says goes. Her plan is very similar to the plan that passed. I'll just hit the things that are identical. One is to eliminate the Social Security state income tax or the state income tax on Social Security for upper income or for the wealthy individuals. Because currently, the reason I say it that way, James, currently, if your income is $75,000 or less, you pay no state income tax in Kansas on your Social Security. So this tax cut for Social Security, which I support, I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all, but it's interesting how some are not realizing that this primarily is for upper income senior citizens. So anyway, that is the same. The elimination of the sales tax on groceries is also moved to July the 1st. Honestly, if we don't override this veto and get something pretty quick, we're getting up against the clock. It's going to be hard for a lot of merchants to be able to get their systems changed, we're told, by the Department of Revenue, in time to implement the elimination of grocery sales tax by July 1st. So those two are exactly the same. On the 20 mil statewide property tax that the state assesses for education, the legislature passed plan moves the exemption from $42,000 of appraised value to $100,000 of appraised value. What that means is whatever your home appraises at, on the 20 mils, the first $100,000 would be exempt. The governor bumped that up to $125,000, which is kind of a nice thing. We had discussion about that in the conference committee, but we determined that that would not likely be affordable. Then the biggest difference is the governor keeps the three rates for income tax. She drops them down just barely. I mean, it's pennies on the dollar, her drop. But a drop is a drop. Whereas the plan that passed the legislature significantly drops the income tax rates. It totally eliminates the bottom rate. Currently, it's 3.1% bottom rate. Middle rate, 5.25%, and top rate, 5.7%. Well, the plan that passed drops the top rate down to 5.55%, and then the middle rate down to 5.15% and eliminates the bottom, and it significantly increases the personal exemptions for adults, and it increases it for children, and then the standard deduction. And I know all that gets a little bit bogged down in the details or the weeds, but the governor didn't bump up the personal exemption and the standard deduction nearly as much. the governor has said, and I heard you guys on KGGF, I heard Matt Jordan report it, that the governor had said that she just felt like the plan that passed the legislature, House Bill 2036, was too expensive. So she vetoed our plan. She put out her own, which saves about $300 million in the first 3 years. So it's not, honestly, that much different. But we'll see what happens when we get back to the peak. That was a long answer to a short question, but kind of goes over the differences between the two plans. It looks like we have the votes probably for a veto override. We're hearing from several in the minority party, the Democrats, that they're not pleased with the governor's veto. So we'll see if they're willing to stick on their yes vote and override the governor's veto on the tax plan.
All right. Well, we'll see where it goes from there. And then I know as you go up to Topeka, you got a couple different motions that you're looking to work on. Can you tell us just a little bit about those?
Yes. The last day before we left session, it was late night. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. We had two senators, Senator Rob Olson from Johnson County, made a motion to pull Senate Bill 135 out of committee. It's kind of an unusual motion. It can be done according to rule. But when you bypass the legislative process, meaning don't let a bill go through the committee, let the committee amend it and so forth, you usually don't get good legislation. So we have a motion to pull medical marijuana out of committee. Takes 24 votes to pull it out of committee. If we get 24 votes, which I'm a no, by the way, I'll just say it right out up front, I'm an absolute no to medical marijuana or marijuana at all. But if we do get the 24 votes to pull it out of committee, then it takes 27 votes to put it on the floor for debate. So it's a two-step process. Now, if it does get on the floor for debate, then it only takes 21 to pass. The other motion was by the minority leader, Senator Sykes, also from Johnson County. She made a motion to pull Senate Bill 355 out of committee, which Senate Bill 355 is Medicaid expansion. It's basically the governor's plan. Again, has not been vetted by the committee. And so if it goes to the floor, same process, 24 and then 27, there would be a vote on Medicaid expansion. I had a listening tour, which you guys mentioned on the radio a few times. And, James, I told everyone that showed up at the listening tour stops, which I was pleased. There was a good turnout. I had a good conversation with a lot of people. I told them I'm still listening for someone to give me a good reason, reasons that outweigh the downside to Medicaid expansion. And honestly, James, no one has been willing or able to give good reasons other than, well, we should just provide government-funded health care for low-income individuals. And I don't think that's a sufficient answer when you weigh that against the downside. So those are the two procedural motions. Those should happen this morning, probably around 11, or probably just before lunch or thereabouts, depending on how things go. When we get there, we're going to gavel in, have our prayer, our Pledge of Allegiance, and then we will, the two parties will go to separate rooms and discuss conference committees and these two procedural motions. So we'll see if they come above the line. I don't expect either one of them to be successful, but that's the first item of business for us.
Okay, very good. And as we go, you know, throughout the session here, I know you talked about, you know, some of those veto overrides. We'll see how that all goes. I know we also just had, Sherry was just mentioning, has there been much chatter about, I guess Derek Schmidt is announcing he's running for LaTurner's seat. What's the thoughts up there in Topeka and with all the folks on this issue?
That was the non-rerunning, in other words, Jake LaTurner saying that I have decided not to seek re-election. That came as a surprise to most of us. And so, honestly, I don't think there were very many people that were looking at running for Congress. We have three individuals who have announced, and, of course, our own Derek Schmidt from Montgomery County has just announced that he's going to be seeking that position. We shall see how things play out. We've got at least Derek and another good guy that are running. It's one of those things, let them campaign, let the people vote, and we shall determine. But there's still some that are looking at it. Honestly, James, with Derek Schmidt getting in, plus the fact that another gentleman, his name's Jeff Kars, a good guy, I've known Jeff a long time, but with those two getting in, they would be, I think, the front runners. I don't really see anyone else getting in. There was discussion about a couple state senators getting in. I don't think that'll happen now because you've got some pretty heavy hitters in Derek Schmidt and Jeff Kars that are running. So we shall see how things play out. But it's one of those things. I applaud Congressman LaTurner for putting family first, but it does kind of leave a vacancy all of a sudden. And so now everybody's ramping up, considering a run, and those who have already filed, I think, are the front runners. We'll see. It will definitely affect a lot of Southeast Kansas because we're in congressional district number 2.
Yeah, and that's a good point. You know, it just did kind of take a lot of folks by surprise. So it does take someone who's maybe got things a little better organized to pull something off and pull off a campaign in this short amount of time. So appreciate you weighing in on that. We got about 4 minutes left with State Senator Virgil Peck. And, sir, anything else you'd like to bring to our attention here as we have some time with you this morning?
Sure. I always appreciate the opportunity to be on KGGF, but your comments is spot on because it's a challenge. If a person's going to run for Congress, generally, they're going to start a year ahead of time. But because it's hard to get everything organized and ready to go to run a congressional campaign, but someone like Derek Schmidt, who is well-known in Southeast Kansas, served as our Attorney General for 12 years, ran for governor, he can ramp up a campaign a whole lot quicker than a lot of other individuals. A couple other things I'll mention when we get back to Topeka that are really vital for the legislature to deal with, in my opinion. One, I believe everybody would agree with this, we have to address K-12 education funding. We haven't passed legislation this session as relates to how we're going to fund K-12 education and what policy pieces we may put into that. Something that is a priority to me and a lot of legislators, and I found out during my listening tour, James, it's also a priority to a lot of Kansans, and that is to not allow foreigners, particularly our adversaries, to own land in Kansas. James, we've got a real issue. Several states have addressed this. Kansas needs to address it, or we're going to be, if you will, an island in the middle of the country to not allow foreigners to own land in Kansas. We have legislation. The House has got a pretty good proposal. We've had some challenges getting it through the Senate, which frustrates me, particularly as a senator. This is a matter of national security. We've had senators say, well, if we do this, we're going to have some Chinese companies shut down operation in Kansas, which means job loss. Two things. One, I believe that there would be an American company that would be willing to take over these companies to run them from an American standpoint. And job loss is a serious thing. It's a sad thing. We do not want that to happen. But our national security is at stake here. And if we don't do something to protect ourselves from our adversaries, and I realize, James, that some people think, well, oh, China's not that big of a threat. Well, I totally disagree. Having the opportunity to serve on the Joint Committee for Kansas Security, we've been told some things about what China has done that, well, they are greatly disturbing to me, that China has undermined our national security in many ways. So this is something that, yes, it's probably a federal issue, but I believe Kansas needs to deal with it. So that's something we also need to deal with. Is foreign ownership of land in Kansas. I think we can get something accomplished. I have concern right now as to how strong it will be. I want something really strong to protect our national sovereignty, but we shall see. And then as chair of the Agriculture Committee, we still have a couple agriculture issues that I want to get across the line. We'll be pushing on those. So we got plenty going on today, and then we're going to take a break for the weekend. And then we will be back on Monday, and that's when we will take up the veto overrides. The governor's handed us 16, a record number, 16 vetoes in one session, plus several line item vetoes of the budget bill. So we've got plenty to do. Elections have consequences, and so now we get to deal with the governor's vetoes and see how many we can override. We don't even have time to go through all 16 of them, but there are some of them that are important. Others of them, I don't care about that much.
All right. Well, Virgil Peck, State Senator Virgil Peck, we appreciate you dropping on by here this morning. Safe travels up to Topeka, and I look forward to chatting again here and next month, I guess. We'll see you in May.
Well, forward to it. I do want everyone to be, and I know KGGF is very weather aware today, keeping everyone posted, but looks like we're in for some severe things down in southeast Kansas. Where I'm headed, I don't think Topeka is supposed to get anything, but I'll be headed back home tomorrow morning. And so if you get everything settled down by tomorrow morning, James, I'd appreciate it.
Hey, we'll see what we can do.
All right. Thank you.
All right. You take it easy. And with that, we have our Ask the Expert segment coming up.